I was in the Edmonton airport, and I was looking at the section that they now call New Age / Religion. And I was reading, there are all these books on people going to heaven. I mean, there's like probably about 10 bestsellers right now. They're all top-selling books about people who claimed to have gone to heaven and returned, and they have their observations, the most famous being the little four-year-old kid that, you know, heaven is for real. And I heard this woman saying to the person that was in the bookstore, do you have The Secret? And The Secret is a book that was popularized by Oprah Winfrey. It was a bestseller, a woman who basically lays out all sorts of New Age principles. And I kind of looked over, and I was just, you know, kind of curious, and the woman was looking at the book, and then the store person walked away. And I said to her, I said to the gal who had the book in her hand, I said, I hope you don't mind, but I'm just curious. Why do you want to get that book? And she said, oh, I heard it was really good. And I said, can I just ask, like, do you have any spiritual religious beliefs? And she said, I'm a Muslim. I said, oh, okay. I said, now, are you like sort of like on the liberal side, like with the Sufi mystical side, or are you on the more orthodox side? She says, definitely more conservative, more orthodox. So I said to her, I said, do you realize that in this book, The Secret, you, the reader, are told that you are God in a physical body? And she said, no. I said, yeah. I said, I'm sure that Orthodox Jews, Orthodox Muslims, and Bible-believing Christians, you know, certainly don't believe that. She said, well, I don't believe that at all. I said, well, you just saved $19.99. She put the book up back up on the shelf, and she was very nice. And it also gave me an opportunity to talk to her about, you know, I told her I'd come out of the New Age, and I recognized these things, and was able to tell her a little bit about Christianity. She was actually she was conservative, but she didn't wear the head covering, which I thought was interesting. And she was from Toronto. Anyway, I came out of the New Age movement, and I think one of the things that I would like to see, you know, in the talks that I'm doing, and hopefully from Ray's also, is that when you leave here, you won't just hear about all the things that are wrong out there and that are bad out there, but you'll be equipped to recognize it, you know, when somebody tries to give you a book like The Secret or The Shack, or in this most recent period of time, there's an absolute bestseller, 5 million copies sold. It's called Jesus Calling. How many people have heard of that book? Well, it's coming. It's kind of like the Shack before The Shack was popular. And I'm actually altering one of my sessions to talk about that. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to just read some of the descriptions from some of the people, like Marianne Williamson is the first one that I'm going to read from. And she's the New Age teacher that Oprah Winfrey put on the map by having her on her 1992 program in February with her book about a thing called A Course in Miracles. I was involved in A Course in Miracles, and I'll talk about that as I move along and just outline my testimony. Marianne Williamson said, an underground revolution is sweeping the hearts and minds of the people of the world, and it's happening despite the wars and terror that confront us. This revolution, overturning of the established order, in this case the spiritual religious order, is a fundamental change of world view. World view is a really important concept for you to understand, because it used to be New World Religion. But they're tweaking it now so that what's your worldview? It's a lot calmer, tamer than saying, you know, we need a new world religion. They're saying we need a new worldview. And what's that new worldview? Ray said it many times in his talk. God in everything. You know, there are times in sporting events. I probably shouldn't attempt to do a hockey one, but I will. Let's say it's like a tie score towards the end of the game. The goalie on one team makes 5 incredible saves, and then your team goes down and scores the winning goal. What they say is that what that goalie did was a game changer. I want you to remember that term, game changer, because it's actually being used for this very concept. If people could only get, the New Age says, the new spirituality, If they could only get that God is in everyone and everything, it could change everything. And that's exactly right, it would. Everybody would have that same bottom line, no matter what religion you're in. If you allow that God interpenetrates his creation, then you've got a new spirituality. And you've got something where everybody can come together and experience some agreement and perhaps world peace. Remember in Daniel 8, it says about Antichrist, by peace he shall destroy many. And it says he shall destroy wonderfully. It's going to look good. Jeremiah said in 5:30-31, a wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. That's what's happening. Oprah Winfrey, what she's introduced to many people, it feels wonderful. It felt wonderful to me when I was in it, and I found out that it is horrible. It just looks good. Satan comes as an angel of light, but when you don't believe in Satan, which I didn't in the New Age, you're not looking for trouble. You're just going for the spiritual experience. This revolution is a fundamental change of worldview, and it carries with it the potential to reorganize the structure of human civilization. It brings a basic, another big word, shift. We're going to be shifting. The game changer is a shift in worldview. It's an awakening to the God within. So when you have, there's one Christian leader, I put leader in quotes, how about leading church figure, who says that we are on the cusp of the greatest spiritual awakening in the history of the world. That is just not true. We're on the cusp of something that calls itself a spiritual awakening, but they're awakening to the God that is within. It brings a basic shift in the thoughts that dominate the world. It wages a peace that will end all war. It's a global phenomenon that will change the cellular structure of the human race. Well, wait a second. How could that be? Well, if you're looking at all of humanity as the body of God, and that we are each a cell in that body, and everybody admits that and allows for that, then you are part of the cellular structure of the oneness that is God. You are part of that cellular structure. However, if you deny that you are inherently divine, let me just say, for believers in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is sent to you, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, but you're not God. Okay, believers, you know, have the Spirit of God within them, but they're not God. So we would deny that divinity is in each and every person. And basically what the New Age leaders are saying, and I've documented it very carefully in my book, False Christ Coming, what they're basically saying is that if you deny your own divinity, you are short-circuiting the energy of humanity because your cell is like a cancer cell in the body. Do you see that? That is so important to understand that. And they say that that cell, you, or whatever, needs to be changed, healed, or eliminated. We now have the framework for the persecution that's coming, and it comes down to this. The only Satan, say the New Age leaders, are those who do not believe in their own divinity. And what did Jesus say in the Gospels? He said, they called me Beelzebub. They called me Satan, they're going to call you Satan. Those are hard words. You read that and you go, wait a minute, everybody loves Jesus these days. What Jesus are we talking about? When I was a kid, which is a while back, there was a show in America anyway called To Tell the Truth. Anybody ever see that show? A few heads are nodding. And they would have three people sitting, you know, in their seats there. And the MC would say, what is your name? And the first one would say, my name is Jesus Christ. And the second one would say, my name is Jesus Christ. And the third one would say, my name is Jesus Christ. And then they would ask questions, and the real Jesus Christ had to answer honestly. The other guys could say whatever they wanted. So now what we have is we have one of the Jesus Christ saying, you know, that Christ is in everyone, God is in everyone. You're getting this mixed bag, and we're hearing it all in the name of Jesus. And then at the end of the program, what do they say? They say, will the real Jesus Christ please stand up? And they all kind of shuffle around. It looks like, oh, he's up. And then the real one gets up. But what's happening here today is that the false Christ is the one that's standing up. And people don't know the difference if they don't know their Bibles. It is so important that you know who Jesus is. And he said, or it was said of him, you know, in Hebrews 8:13, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Malachi, God said, I change not. And in Proverbs 24:21, it says, meddle not with them that are into change. How does Rick Warren describe himself? As a change agent. What are we changing here? We're changing the whole face of what called itself biblical Christianity. With a little nudge, Leonard Sweet, one of the church figures that's going around at the highest levels of leadership of almost every denomination, with a little nudge, we just got to tweak it a little bit, and just God within, God in everything. I mean, God's everywhere. Can't you just kind of in everyone? No. And it comes down to Ephesians 4:6. And in my Bible, which is a King James Bible that a very wonderful older lady gave me when I was in the New Age. I was a social worker, and her son was my client. He was developmentally disabled. And at the height of my New Age, I went to her house. We talked very pleasantly. And then she says, Warren, do you love God? And I said, oh, yeah. She said, tell me about him. So I told her all my New Age beliefs, and she was like, she tried to hide her horror. And she said, Warren, would you excuse me for just a moment? And she goes into the other room, comes back with a big blue King James Bible that she got from Southwest Radio Church. She said, would you accept this? And I looked at it, and I thought to myself, you know, that blue cover is exactly the same color as my Course in Miracles books. It'll look real nice right next to my Course in Miracles. I said, sure. But that's the Bible I had when I came across. When everything came down, and I'll describe that, you know, in a moment, that was the Bible that I had. And people say to me today, they say, are you King James only? And I say, I've only used the King James. I never had any reason to not use it. It described things perfectly. It was like a Geiger counter. It just exposed everything I've been involved in. It's a global phenomenon that will change the cellular structure of the human race. Well, what the New Age leaders are saying is they're saying that we need to be linked, okay? If everybody is linked, then the energy can circulate, you know, and it can bring things to another level where it's almost like you can skip. Okay, here's your next phrase. You can make a quantum leap to a new level of functioning that will, in effect, be a new humanity that is running on this principle of God in everything. And I believe when that day comes, and I believe it will come, I believe that the devil, through probably his false Christ and Antichrist, will be able to do something to... You've all seen holy laughter. You've seen the laughing phenomenon that came into the church where people are... that kind of energy, or the Todd Bentley, Lakeland, so-called revival energy, will provide what Barbara Marx Hubbard, a New Age leader, calls the joy of the force. Ray talked about the force. God is a force. You know, Star Wars, may the force be with you. It's a force that goes through humanity. The example that I would give you is like, again, when I was younger, at Christmas time, you know, we'd put those Christmas lights around the tree. And you'd try the lights, but if one bulb didn't work, what happened? Short-circuited the whole string of lights. That's how Bible-believing Christians are going to be viewed in the future if you don't get with the program. And because you're short-circuiting the energy of humanity, you are going to be hindering the potential for world peace. So Jesus said, you know, they could kill you thinking they're doing God a favor. It's all in place. They actually call the elimination of those... They don't say at this point in time Bible-believing Christians. They say those who are into separation. You've got separation versus oneness. Are you into love, peace, and oneness? Or are you into hate, separation, and fear? Well, gee, you know, I mean, most people are going to say, well, I'm into love, peace, and oneness. You know, of course. I describe that at length. I may have time to kind of go over that a little bit more in a future thing, but this dichotomy, this pitting together love, fear, and peace, love, oneness, against this idea of separation and fear. We talk about the atonement, Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins, atonement. You know what the New Age calls it? At-one-ment. You are at one with God because you are God. So when you hear somebody in the New Age talking about atonement and they say at-one-ment, well, okay, they're talking about atonement. No, they're talking about something completely different. It's a global phenomenon that will change the cellular structure of the human race. To those who are a part of it, who feel called to it, it's a reality. Its reality is growing, if not obvious, truth. To still others, it's a lofty but ridiculous notion, a preposterous and silly idea. I ran a homeless program in a little town in Northern California called Oroville. One night I was driving out of the town, and by the way, this town was, it was filled with, you know, a lot of drug addicts. It was a tough little town. They had witchcraft, Satanists. It was just a tough, tough little town. Well, the Shell station, you know, sat kind of as you went up the hill, overlooking the city or the town. And the S was out on the Shell. And it was overlooking the whole town. It just, I said to my wife, I said, Joy, look at that. That's how we're going to be regarded when we don't have our S in place. We don't, it's like the, when you go around the sports stadium and people, you know, they have the sign and they spell something, then some poor person has it backwards or it's upside down or something. That's how we're going to be regarded. My last talk is going to be, how do we stand in these last days in the face of all this? And it's not my opinion, it's what Scripture tells us. We have been completely prepared for everything that is here. I came into the faith and the Bible just read incredibly clear. And we would go into churches and people would just like, they wouldn't understand where we'd been or what we were talking about. We'd say, Ephesians 6, you know, 1 Timothy 4:1, 1 John 4:1, it's in the Bible. People want a spiritual experience. They don't want to just read their Bibles and understand that everything you need. Sola Scriptura means only Scripture, and it means the Bible is sufficient. You don't need to have Jesus come and tell you something new that he's doing to help bring the world together. And guess what it is? Oneness. All through these channeled people who are now bringing their thoughts and their ideas through undiscerning Christian leaders, and I will try to talk about that in my next session. Here's a book called Global Shift, How a New Worldview is Transforming Humanity. The Aquarian Conspiracy was a book that came out in 1980. And in the 1933 World Series, Babe Ruth was getting razzed by the Chicago, he was on the Yankees, and the Chicago Cubs were in the dugout giving him a hard time. He stepped up to the plate. Some of you guys might know this. And he pointed to the left center field bleachers. I'm going to hit it right there. And he did. He said he was going to do it, and he did it. Marilyn Ferguson, the author of this book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, said, "We're coming at you." And I'll read exactly what she said. "A leaderless but powerful network is working to bring about a radical change in the United States. Its members have broken with certain key elements of Western thought," spell that biblical Christianity, "and they may have even broken continuity with history." What does Rick Warren say? We're going to change history. Think of this. Change his story. That's what's going on in the purpose-driven movement, the emerging church, and so much of what calls itself Christianity today. The network is the Aquarian Conspiracy, broader than reform. What does Rick Warren and Robert Shuler and so many of them say? We need a new reformation. Broader than reform, deeper than revolution. Ken Blanchard, somebody that Ray mentioned, who's the co-founder of the Lead Like Jesus movement, was at a Lead Like Jesus conference. And when he stood up to talk, he said, you know, Rick was in the back there, and he said, you know, Ken, let's start a revolution. What are these guys thinking? We don't need a revolution. We've got everything we need. We've got a Lord and Savior that's given us everything we need. We don't need a revolution. We don't need a shift. We don't need a new great awakening that isn't a real great awakening. This benign conspiracy for a new human agenda has triggered the most rapid cultural alignment in history. The great, shuddering, irrevocable shift overtaking us is not a new political, religious, or philosophical system. Oh, yes, it is. It's a new mind, the ascendance of a startling worldview that gathers into its framework breakthrough science, quantum physics. Quantum physics is already being used to try to prove that God is an energy that interpenetrates his creation. I believe with all my heart that this is the lie talked about in Romans 1 and talked about in 2 Thessalonians. The lie is that everyone and everything is divine. Breakthrough science and insights from earliest recorded thought. She said, in her book that they have a great heretical idea. Ha ha, cute, right? Her great heretical idea, God within. She said, but we're not going to be able to do it right away. It's going to take time. It will need to be widely communicated. Enter Oprah Winfrey. No woman has done more to publicize the New Age teachings than Oprah Winfrey. I've heard stories of how women in Saudi Arabia just revere her and her teachings all around the world. She's brought in just about, like Ray said, just about every New Age book. When I was writing my book, The Light That Was Dark, warning about A Course in Miracles in 1992, I was editing it in the early part of that year, and to my horror and shock, Marianne Williamson appeared on Oprah Winfrey talking about A Course in Miracles, and Oprah Winfrey introduced Marianne Williamson, heretofore unknown to anybody. She said, Marianne Williamson's book about A Course in Miracles, A Return to Love, is one of the best books I have ever read. Its teachings can change the world, and I bought 1,000 copies. I'm going to give one to everybody in the audience. I'm going to give one to each one of you. And they all clap like they do on Oprah. So they talked on that program about love, about peace, about connecting with one another. In my book, The Light That Was Dark, and in subsequent books, I've outlined the teachings of A Course in Miracles. Here's what The Course in Miracles state. And remember, Oprah said the teachings can change the world. Oprah calls herself a Christian. Here's The Course in Miracles. Here's what was taught several years ago on Oprah Radio on a daily basis by Marianne Williamson. This Course in Miracles you can get on CD read by John Boy Walton, Richard Thomas of the Walton family. You've got John Boy reading blasphemy. I mean, the devil couldn't do it any better. You've got Oprah, who a lot of people really love her. Here's what The Course in Miracles says. By the way, The Course in Miracles is reputedly new revelation from who? Jesus Christ. The whole book, first person, from Jesus Christ to the reader. The Course in Miracles, Jesus says, the recognition of God is the recognition of yourself. Do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. The journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. Are you getting it? This is blasphemy. This is the devil. This is not even close. This isn't like, and I've heard people like, hate to keep picking on Rick Warren, but you know, he calls it a bunch of baloney. That's not a bunch of baloney. That's the devil at work, and that needs to be exposed. People need to understand where Oprah stands. But just maybe like 2 months ago, Rick Warren went on Oprah Winfrey, and they were just kind of like talking back and forth like they're old buds. I was waiting for that day. If that had happened 10 years ago, people would have really gotten up in arms, but everybody's gotten desensitized. The Course in Miracles says there's no sin, there's no evil. It says that there's no devil. So in essence, it's the Bible upside down. Who's professor backwards in the Bible? Satan. He successfully incorporated this. I was in a Course in Miracles study group. It was part of the whole trip that I went through that started with a psychic reading where towards the end of the reading, and that the only reason I did it, I wasn't trying to be more spiritual. I kind of liked this waitress that was in a downtown restaurant, and I invited her over to my house, and we're talking, and she said, do you like the music of John Prine? He's a country singer. And I said, gee, I don't really know him too well. And she said, a psychic's coming into town, a friend of a friend of mine. She's coming from Canada. You guys are the ones that got me in trouble. Would you like to have a psychic reading? And I figured, well, if it pleases you, sure. So the next day I went out and bought 2 John Prine albums, and I had signed up for the psychic. So I'm amazed when this psychic is telling me things about myself she shouldn't know. I mean, she just had no business knowing. I hadn't said anything to my friend. It was kind of like Acts 16:16. You're all probably familiar with the fact that Paul and Silas were tossed in the Philippian jail because they put a psychic out of business because they did what? Paul, in the name of Jesus Christ, cast out the divining spirit, the spirit of divination. So, of course, I didn't know any of that. So she's telling me all these things about myself. I didn't know she could have a divining spirit. And then there's this whirling sensation over the top of my head that was like totally bizarre. And I'm just going, what is going on here? And I didn't say anything to her. And she said, Warren, are you aware that there's a ball of light over your head right now. And I said, I don't know what that is, but I can feel it. She said, it's a ball of light. I said, okay, what's it doing there? She said, you have a lot of help on the other side. Angels, loved ones that have passed on, spirits that are interested in your well-being, but you need to ask them into your life. So that night on the flat roof of my house, I did what should be of horror to any Christian. I lay there, I reflected over my life, and I said, you on the other side, I want to be more spiritual, I want to grow, come into my life. I opened the door, you know, in Ephesians, was it 4:27, neither give place to the devil. I just opened the door, and my life took off into all these things. And I documented it, and I did go through my testimony a couple of years ago, so I don't want to go through the whole thing. But the Course in Miracles was one of the things that came into my life. And by the way, a lot of the stuff that comes into your life when you're doing these spiritual journeys, it's like, whoa, it was meant to be. You know, you've heard that. There's a reason for everything. It's meant to be. Well, you better check out meant to be from whom. There's temptation out there. There is deception out there. But you hear, unfortunately, from too many Christians, oh, yeah, it was meant to be. You know, my friend told me about this book, The Shack. You know, I didn't buy it. And then my grandmother said, hey, have you read The Shack? And I went, whoa, God's trying to tell me something. And then when the last person said something about The Shack, I knew God wanted me to get that book. No, it doesn't work that way. You can get the book, and you can read it, but you better test it. You better check it like Acts 17:11 to search the Scripture, see if these things are so. Paul told the Bereans, you need to check these things. You need to make sure that they're from God. So, well, I'll go ahead and just complete my testimony. Got really involved with all this stuff. And then, you know, after working with a channeler and the Course in Miracles groups and all this stuff, my wife was doing therapeutic massage, something at the height of all of our New Age glory. I mean, everything was just going really well. And I should have known it because one day I used to do a lot of running. And one day I was running in the canyon where we lived, and there was a butterfly flying right alongside of me. And I kind of went, hey, just running along. This is typical New Age. And it stayed with me. It stayed with me for a long time. I bet, you know, an eighth of a mile. And I just went, man, this is just like, whoa, going with the flow. And then a car came from the other direction. Splat. And I kind of went, oh. And that's kind of what happened to our New Age journey. And that's kind of what's going to happen. It's what's going to happen to all these people, not only in the New Age, but in the church. I've already talked to one woman here who came out of the New Age, and when we recognized, like, oh, all that stuff that felt so good, seemed so good, you know, in the church, you know, holy laughter, or, you know, you're getting, you know, a touch from the Lord from some visiting pastor, and then later you realize, I mean, I've got a friend who, he went with a girlfriend as a new Christian to a hyper charismatic church. When I say hyper, way over the edge, and somebody laid hands on him, and he broke into tongues and was slain in the spirit. And about a month later, he just said, Lord, if this isn't from you, take it away. Whew, it's gone. An awful lot of what's out there in the way of, you know, tongues and you know, I'm sure that there's some legitimate tongues. I mean, that's something we can all talk about in the church. But so much of what's going on is bogus. So in our life, at the height of all these things that were so good, some kind of weird oppression sort of settled over, particularly my wife, and we couldn't figure out what it was, and it wouldn't go away. We went up to our Course in Miracles group leaders, and they said, well, let's get in a circle and we'll send love and light. So we all stood in the circle, and it's like, okay, love and light. It looked like maybe it was one of the people that had come in from her massage practice, and you know, we sent love and light, and it just felt empty. So we broke, and then we started to walk out the door to go home, and I turned around and I said, and he was there with his wife, who was the co-leader of the Course in Miracles group. I said, isn't there anything else we can do? And she said, put on the full armor of God and stand fast against the wiles of the devil. And I went, what? There is no devil. And her husband's going, now, honey. It's like, calm down. Turns out she had been a Bible-believing Christian. She had been in an evangelical church, but she got so disappointed and just things had just bottomed out that she ended up going into the New Age. So she told us that, and she said, read Ephesians 6. We went home, got out that big blue Bible, read it, and my response to my wife was, you know, or to my girlfriend at the time, well, you know, Trudy must have been in the church, and, you know, that's really sweet that she gave us that, closed it up, put it back up there. So Christmas time, we go down to Southern California, and we figured we'd leave this oppressive spirit behind because it would just kind of pop up, and I could tell it would sort of like my joy would get sort of like fuzzy. I used to say, are you getting tweaked by whatever that is? But see, in the New Age, there's no evil. All you have is your projected fears. In other words, it's like a metaphysical mirror. She's just looking at some fear that she hasn't taken care of inside herself. We need to go inside ourselves, fix it, and get back to the God that we really are. So that was our attitude, but yet we did all that. We did affirmations. How about this Course in Miracles affirmation? In my defenselessness, my safety lies. Kind of like the opposite of put on the full armor of God. In my defenselessness, in my sinlessness, I am fully protected. You know, those were the affirmations. You can say something, you can do an affirmation till the cows come home, but if it's not true, it's not true. So we went down to Southern California thinking we'd leave whatever this was behind. It was there. And so one day, when Joy was with a friend, I went to a little bookstore in Hermosa Beach, down right outside L.A., near the ocean. And the bookstore was called Either Or. And I was looking through the New Age healing section. I certainly wasn't, I don't think they even had a Christian section, but I wouldn't have thought to look there. And in the New Age healing section, I saw this book called The Beautiful Side of Evil by a woman named Johanna Michelson. How many have heard of that book? Quite a few. She is a Christian, and she wrote this book because she had been involved in many of the same things that we had been involved in. And she wrote the book the way that I wrote my book, which is starting off with the deception so that somebody that, you know, is deceived and is in the New Age can read it comfortably and sort of go along and see all the things I got involved in, how my philosophy and my beliefs were built up, and then why we changed our mind. And I want to say very carefully, if there's anybody here that is involved in the New Age or any of these teachings, I just want to say one thing. First of all, thank you for being here. We don't get too many people that would actually come in here, you know, with a belief system like that. It takes a lot of courage to come in and to hear an alternative point of view. So I hope I'm being respectful to you, because I know that when I was involved, I was very sincere, but I was sincerely deceived. I don't doubt Oprah's sincerity. I have no reason to doubt that. If I had been able to have a TV program like hers at that time, I probably would have done it. So I'm reading her book, and then all of a sudden, she's in Mexico City. She has she's in this healing ministry, if you will, it's a New Age ministry, with a woman named Pachita, who lets a spirit guide named Hermanito channel through her, and they're doing all these miraculous healings, pulling cancer out of people, doing all sorts of stuff. Just because somebody gets healed. You know that scripture, you know, that God gave them their desires, but he sent leanness into their souls. Just because you get what you're asking for, if you don't pray God's will be done, it doesn't mean just because there's some kind of a healing, the devil can do healing too. And he did. One day a Christian woman came in, and Johanna was just amazed because this woman, something went terribly wrong, and there was suddenly this sense of evil in the room, and it threw Johanna completely. She ended up at Le Brie in Switzerland, which was Francis Schaeffer's place. Her sister was there. And she went through this whole experience where she came to terms with the evil and with what was true. And I'm just amazed as I'm reading this thing. I'm going, whoa, I can't believe this. And I'm looking at scripture really for the first time, and it's just like coming right at me. So I'm on the floor, and I'm writing down, you know, the things that she's telling me. And off of the street, I'd seen this guy the day or two before. He's a homeless, mentally ill guy. Comes into the store, comes back to where I'm taking notes, and he starts screaming at me. And he says, are you going to buy that book or what? What are you doing with that book? And I just held it, and I went, man, this evil know is that I'm reading about it? Is evil real? Can evil orchestrate a guy to come off the street and come back and hassle me while I'm reading about it? And it was like, yes, yes, and yes. I worked with the homeless. I sort of talked him down, got him out of the store, and I went back to taking notes. And Johanna had the most remarkable way of dealing with the situation that we were involved in. I wrote it down. Now, why didn't I just buy the book? Hey, when you're in the New Age, you are really proud. You're not going to buy a book that is Christian. So I put the book back in the bookshelf, but I had all this stuff written down. Next day, when Joy was feeling this oppression again, I said, let's go out in the backyard. I want to try something just a little bit different. Don't be scared. Addressing this presence that was around her, I couldn't see it, but it was clearly there. I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I forbid your presence here. I call upon the blood of the victory of the cross of Calvary, and I command you to leave and to go where Jesus sends you. And it was like, whoosh. And Joy said, it's gone. What happened? I said, I don't. Sure. Now you're going to laugh, because I said to her, I said, I'm not completely sure. But it has something to do with a real Satan, evil, sin, being defeated on the cross of Calvary. And we need to start reading the Bible. It took us a while. We didn't go, you know, on our knees. We should have, but you're hardcore when you're involved with deception and you're deceived. But we started reading the Course in Miracles and the Bible together, and clearly they came into conflict. And anybody that reads The Light That Was Dark carefully will see that it was no genius on my part. It was basically my wife, you know, coming up with some understandings, and I going, really, honey? Yeah, you think so? And then one day she said, I don't think the Jesus of A Course in Miracles is the real Jesus. And I don't think we should be doing it anymore. I think we need to stay with the Bible. And I said, well, I'm going to study it out. And I did. And clearly, you know, it was the Bible upside down. So I thought, we'll go and talk to all of our friends that have been involved with this. And they're going to get it. And they're going to get saved. And it didn't happen. And we're going, don't you get it? There's really a devil. And Jesus won a victory. I mean, look at Hebrews 2, 14? Satan was defeated on the cross. The devil was defeated on the cross of Calvary. It's all there in the Bible. And they'd go, thanks for sharing, and adios. You know, it was like they were gone. One day, I was on my way to work, and it was like, Lord, you know, hardly anybody is listening to what we have to say. How did we get out? And what was brought to my mind was that in my senior year in college, my friend and I were going to go out drinking, as fraternity guys do. And we were told that we had a mandatory fraternity house meeting that we had to go to. And we said, wait a minute, what do you mean? Wait, we have to go. And they said, you have to go. What is it? Campus Crusade for Christ. I said, oh, come on. You know, we don't have to do that. Yes, you do. So we went. Three guys gave their testimony. The first two guys, we just kind of went, yeah, right, sure, sure. You know, we're just kind of like, go ahead, you know. Third guy, all of a sudden, it was like he had my attention. But I didn't remember anything that he said, except at the end, he said, what have you got to lose by asking Jesus into your life tonight? And I went, I got nothing to lose. And I prayed that night. I didn't understand about sin. I didn't repent. I didn't get it. But I said, Jesus, if you're really out there, come into my life. And a cherry, here's real meant to be stuff. A cherry bomb went off in the alleyway next door, and on the radio, You'll Never Walk Alone was playing. And I went, whoa, whoa. And I went to sleep. I woke up the next morning. I forgot all about it. You know the parable of the sower and the seed that's on the wayside, the devil comes and grabs it up. Campus Crusade didn't come back, you know, and ask if anybody had prayed. You know, I don't know what I would have done if they did, but, you know, so I think it was like 17 years later, on my way to work, it was like the Lord said, you didn't get saved that. I mean, he didn't say this literally. I want to be careful because we're going to talk about Jesus calling. But I was impressed with, I didn't get saved that night, but I sincerely asked Jesus into my life. And I really believe, like a parent with a tether, he let me go right to the edge of the cliff. I was involved with Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, the guru that was up in Oregon. We dressed in orange, you know, right to the edge of the cliff, but I didn't go to India. When everybody was worshiping Rajneesh, I just stood back. I couldn't worship him, but I went, well, he's a god, I'm a god, but I couldn't bow down and worship him. Somehow or another, the Lord kept me from getting involved with that. And I really believe now that, kind of like the spies that were sent into Canaan land, you know, I've kind of come back with my report, and there are giants in the land, and they're named Oprah Winfrey, and they're named Neil Donald Walsh. Anybody ever heard of Neil Donald Walsh? Conversations with God, some of the most blasphemous stuff. I've got it listed in False Christ Coming. I couldn't believe it. I'm at the hotel last night, and I'm on Christian Book Distributors, and I was checking to see if my latest book, Watering the Greyhound Garden, you know, had gotten onto Christian Book Distributors, and I went, nah. Neil Donald Walsh one of his books is on Christian book distributors, the most blasphemous stuff. And I went, okay, that's bad enough. How about Deepak Chopra, book on God, on Christian book distributors? Then I went, not the Course in Miracles, Course in Miracles ebook on Christian book distributors. Folks, this thing is so far gone, you would hardly believe it. I mean, the critical mass was probably passed. I remember one time, it was probably about 5 or 6 years ago, one week my wife said, you know, the world is passing us by. And like 2 weeks later, she said, the world just passed us by. It was like that quick. It just it's been happening so fast. One of the reasons that it's happening so fast is because the men calling themselves Christian leaders and women are not warning about this at all. You got a couple of nobodies like Ray Youngin, Roger Oakland, you know, Carol Matriciana, you know, she's got a little bit more of a name. She's been around, Johanna Michelson, but, you know, and we're going, watch out. Okay, my book comes out warning about the Course in Miracles. Watch out for the Course in Miracles. And meanwhile, Oprah's saying, I bought 1,000 copies. This is the best book I ever, one of the best books I ever read. And it went to the top of the New York Times bestseller list on her say-so. Meanwhile, I'm on these little Christian radio stations in Kentucky. I remember one I did in Baltimore. It was an African-American station. He said, Warren, he said, it was the Rush Hour show. And he says, Warren, tell us a little bit about yourself. And I said, well, I was involved in the New Age. He goes, New Age? And he just shut off the show. That was it. You know, it's like, it just freaked him out. But I don't know that that would even happen today. I mean, there's hardly anybody talking about it. When I wrote False Christ Coming, Does Anybody Care? I was doing a radio show in Yuma, Arizona. And it was a short show. And at the break, he goes, we'll be right back with Warren Smith. New Age. I thought that went away. You know, I guess it's still here. What Ray and I will tell you is that New Age never went away. It has only grown exponentially through the years. And we're now watching it just pouring into the church. There's a new Bible version that is called The Voice. It's actually on Gateway Bible with other Bibles. Got it. And let me just see if I can, I'll just read you exactly what it is. And this is where we're at. Okay, we're going to look at 2 Peter 3, 18. And we're going to do King James. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Here's The Voice, the new emerging Bible from Leonard Sweet, Brian McLaren, and others in the emerging movement. Listen carefully. Instead, grow in grace and in the true knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus, the liberating King, to whom be glory now and until the coming of the New Age. Come on. Come on. They know better. What they're doing is they're redefining New Age. New Age has always been representative of the beliefs that I explained to you, God within. What they're doing now, like Brian McLaren in one of his books, remember Ray, he said, there's kind of this mushy New Age stuff. We don't want a mushy New Age, and we don't want a pushy fundamentalism. What we want for the New Age period of time, the Mayan calendar ended on December 21st last year. All the New Agers are saying that the New Age began on December 22nd, the age of Aquarius. We're into it. A lot of us have noticed there seems to be a real thrust that's come in spiritually. A lot of us are feeling a lot more heat, and I bet you are too. But we're also feeling that the Lord's providing an extra boost from his side. He's not just letting us go down with this, but I'm talking to more and more people who are having spiritual experiences of the spiritual warfare type. And I'm talking pastors, I'm talking friends, I'm talking just about anybody. And I'll describe that a little bit more, but I just want to say one thing before we close the session. If you're experiencing something like that, you're probably doing something right. And rebuke it in Jesus' name, and it will leave just like when we did. It might come back in 10 minutes. You might have, you know, an interesting evening. But it doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It doesn't mean there's sin in your life. There is a reality of spiritual warfare. And they're trying to intimidate both spiritually and through these Christian so-called church leaders to make us almost ashamed of our faith. What is repeated throughout the New Testament in particular? Not being ashamed. I am not, was it Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus says not to be offended. I told you these things, why? So you won't be offended. I told you these things before, why? So that you'll know when they come to pass. It's happening. So I'll just leave you with this. I want Leonard Sweet to tell you what these so-called leaders believe. He has a book called Aqua Church. And in this book, he has a lot of, like I'm looking right now, he repeated or quoted from an old hymn, Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me. Probably a lot of you know that hymn. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Come on, Warren, what are you saying? What's wrong with Leonard Sweet? He's going around telling everybody that Jesus died on the cross. He's repeating these. Okay, five lines down, he quotes the father of the New Age movement, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. I'm going to go back over that name. I'm not going to throw a lot of names that you need to remember, but you want to know Chardin, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. The Aquarian conspiracy book that I mentioned previous took its title from Chardin. Chardin says that God is in every atom. He's the father of the New Age movement. Leonard Sweet quotes him. Listen to the quote. This is what we're looking at. This is, and it's not being discussed by these church figures because I think they're taking us into it. Chardin, Sweet quoting him, says, Christ is in the church in the same way as the sun is before our eyes. We see the same sun as our father saw, and yet we understand it in a much more magnificent way. They just threw all the martyrs under the bus. In other words, we just didn't quite get it. God is in his creation, and we're going to get this new worldview, and they're going to be bringing it in through spiritual experiences. They're going to be bringing it in through new Bible versions that do stuff like what I just read. Eugene Peterson's The Message, we'll talk about that. It waters it down, it dilutes it, it changes it. And, you know, if you know the old thing about, well, you've got the genuine and you've got the counterfeit. You can always tell the counterfeit because you got the genuine. But if you don't have a genuine anymore, if it's been changed, then you've got nothing to measure what you're doing by. Now, I just kind of thought before I close, how did someone like myself, how could I command in the name of Jesus Christ when I'm not, you know, saved? I can't honestly tell you, but what has been brought to my mind is the Ethiopian eunuch. He was sitting, in his chariot? And Philip came alongside, and he was reading Isaiah, and he was trying to understand it. And Philip explained it to him, and what happened? He believed, and he was baptized. Johanna Michelson came alongside. God bless her for doing that book. You know how much warfare she went through to write that book? She came alongside, and I believed her. I believed what she was saying, and I believed the scriptures that she was telling me, and I believed that that is what, and I had asked Jesus, at least to the sense that I described, to come into my life. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is true, and so is everything else in an authorized Bible. Not in the voice, not in the message. Oh, but I really like the way the message says this, says about 10 or 15 different church figures. Well, I really don't like the way the message says this, and I'll tell you some of those tomorrow. But it's happening. But you know what? We should rejoice. And the Bible says, rejoice with trembling. This isn't some party. Brian McLaren says that we're on our way to a party. Rick Warren talks about going to a party. We rejoice with trembling because these things are coming to pass, what the Lord told us. And our witness in these last days is going to be so important. We need to know what we believe. And when people tell us, oh, you got to, yeah, say, no, I want to do that. Well, how come? Because it's deception. Well, how? You want to be able to answer. This is going to be the greatest opportunity for you to witness to people who are lost. And a lot of those people are in what is called the Christian faith. Thank you very much, and God bless all you guys.